You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Dr. David Clark is the president of the Association for Treatment of Neuroplastic Symptoms. He's also an assistant director at the Center for Ethics and clinical assistant professor of gastroenterology emeritus, both at the Oregon Health and Science University in Portland. He is a board certified. Oh, go ahead, sir. Oh.
No, you got it exactly right.
Perfect. Well, welcome to the show, David.
Great to be with you, George. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, excited to have you on. Tell us a little bit more about your personal lives, more about your work and why you do what you do.
Well, as you mentioned, I'm a physician. I'm board certified in gastroenterology and internal medicine. And I was cruising along in my training years, completely Western trained, very traditional practice that I had for 40 years. Two-thirds of it, garden variety gastrointestinal diseases. But the other third, as it turns out, are patients who had pain or illness. It was perfectly real, but no disease or injury to explain it. And I was very fortunate, right toward the end of my training, to learn from a psychiatrist at UCLA that there was an explanation for the pain or illness in these patients, and that it was being generated by the brain. And the brain was doing this because of stress in a person's life, which could be in the present day, it could be in the past, it could be trauma, it could be emotions, it could be some other challenge in life. But if we were able to uncover what those issues were, we could treat these patients as successfully as anybody else. And unfortunately, most of my colleagues in healthcare are not familiar with this process, even though it affects 40% of patients who come to a primary care doctor, and 20% of the adult population. So it's a huge problem. It's twice as many people as have diabetes, for example. But only now is the word getting out about how to diagnose and treat it. And there's gold standard clinical trials now that show incredible benefits from the new neuroplastic psychology that's used to treat this.
40% of patients seeking care within the medical establishment are suffering from this, and 20% of just human beings in the United States at large?
50 million people in the U.S. In the adult population. It's an absolutely huge number of people. And they don't have to be suffering like this. That's the worst part of it. The suffering is entirely unnecessary. If we uncover the psychosocial issues that are going on, we can successfully treat people. And sometimes it's very simple. I mean, one of my patients, and none of the other doctors who'd seen him asked him this, but the only time he got his pain was when he was driving to work. When he was driving home from work, he was fine. Ditto on the weekends when he was not at work. So you've diagnosed him already, George. I mean, it isn't that challenging if you know the right question to ask. Other people, it's more complicated, to be honest. But it shows you that if you know what to look for, if you get outside of the box that it must be an organ disease, it has to be a structural damage. No, it doesn't. There's this whole other category that can cause 100% real symptoms. These are not in your head. These are just as real as anybody else. I've had patients who've been ill with this for decades, and nobody inquired into what might have been going on in their life that could have brought this about. And even those patients, the ones who've been ill for years and years, can be successfully treated once you uncover the underlying issue.
What is the term for this again, sir?
Neuroplastic symptoms. Neuro obviously means nerve or brain. The plastic is kind of a medical jargon term, but it's actually very hopeful. It means a capacity for change. Plastic surgery, everybody's heard of that. It just means that you're doing surgery to change the appearance. And in this condition, the brain has changed. The circuits in the brain have changed. And the result of that is all kinds of pain or illness in the body. It can be migraines, ringing in the ears, dizziness, visual disturbances, trouble swallowing, facial pain. Pain in the low back is a big one, actually. Fibromyalgia. Long COVID has been in the news a lot lately. That's another one. Chronic fatigue, pelvic pain, genital pain, irritable bowel. Certain kinds of rashes. The only common denominator is that these patients tend to have more than one symptom at a time. They don't always, but the more symptoms they have, the longer they've been going on, the more likely it is that there's a neuroplastic process happening.
I'm familiar with neuroplasticity from my amateur work as a meditator. Is this similar?
Absolutely. Yeah. The good news is that even though the brain has changed into a configuration that produces symptoms, it can come right back to normal with the appropriate treatment.
So it sounds like there are a lot of ways that this shows up, a lot of symptoms in the body that this shows up that you just mentioned. And this isn't a structural problem. It's not my bones. It's not my muscles. It's not my organs. It is just the way that my brain is wired.
That's it. Yeah. Another example I can give you is actually this was the first story in my first book, which is called They Can't Find Anything Wrong. This was a patient who I was asked to see. She'd been admitted overnight for an attack of severe dizziness and vomiting. And when I went to see her, she said something to me I've never heard from any other patient, which was, "Doctor, don't waste your time with me. You'd be better off seeing your other patients." Huh. And I asked her why, and she said, and she actually had good reason to say it. She had been hospitalized for exactly the same symptom 60 times over the previous 15 years. And she lived in a community with a prestigious university hospital. So she had been there all these scores of times, saw a dozen specialists. In the end, they threw their hands up and asked a psychiatrist to see her. He pronounced her mentally healthy and sent her back to the medical doctors, and she just kept on having these attacks. Actually, between 6 and 10 of them every year, about half of them bad enough to put her in the hospital. But it turned out all of these attacks were linked to direct or indirect connections, interactions with her abusive mother. Her mother had been verbally and emotionally abusing her since she was 3 or 4 years old, and it was still going on. The patient was 50, and her mom was in her 70s and was still doing this to her. And it turned out I could make a connection between when and where those interactions were taking place and when she was having these attacks. And as soon as she saw that, she had this light bulb moment. I can still remember. She looked up at the ceiling and said, "Oh my God, I cannot believe it." And in her case, just bringing that into conscious awareness for the first time was enough to alleviate her attacks. And it's a good example of how often stress from childhood can play out well into the adult years and create all kinds of mental, psychosocial, and physical problems.
I'm not surprised to hear that. It is surprising to hear it, but I'm not surprised. I'm certainly aware of limiting beliefs that we get from negative chronic or problems as kids. And why wouldn't it manifest in physical ways as well? How many medical practitioners or how many doctors are aware of this? And why is it that you've dedicated so much time when potentially others haven't?
Well, it's very personally and professionally rewarding to do this, to be able to have somebody who's often been ill for years, who's frustrated, who's sometimes in complete despair, and just to have a conversation with them and get into some areas that maybe nobody's asked them about before and see that play out into improvement in their symptoms, sometimes in a very short space of time, a matter of weeks or months in many cases. It's been a tremendous part of my practice. It was only 1/3 of my patients, but I absolutely love doing it. And other physicians that we've taught how to do this, my colleagues and I at the Association for Treatment of Neuroplastic Symptoms, They love it too. One of the doctors who learned this from a course that we have on our website is symptomatic.me. She took me aside at a conference several months later and said it had put the joy back into her work to be able to treat these patients successfully. Because before that, they would just make her beat her head against the wall. She didn't know what to do. It was completely outside the normal training paradigm that we get in medical school. Look for organs, look for structures. And if you can't find anything wrong there, then it's all in their heads and you can't do anything for them. And they're just going to have to live with it. And they're probably just neurotic. And, you know, all of those assumptions that are false.
Well, but it is kind of all in our heads,
isn't it? We have hundreds of doctors we've taught how to do this. So it's growing.
Okay. I made a bad joke. It is sort of all in our heads, though.
Yeah, it's actually in your brain.
Okay.
And that's an important distinction for people, you know. If I tell you your terrible back pain is all in your head, you know, you're going to throw me across the room and storm out. But if I tell you, hey, you know what, it's actually in your brain and that there is a real physical underpinning for this. It is in the structure of the nerve circuits. There are MRI studies of the brain now in people with these conditions, fibromyalgia, adverse childhood experiences, somatization disorder, that have shown the brain is physically different. So you're not imagining this if you're somebody who's got it.
Spring is giving fresh start vibes. Like suddenly you want to open the windows, drink more water, and maybe act like you have your life together. But when dinner rolls around and you're this close to ordering takeout again, ButcherBox can help. They deliver premium, clean protein straight to your door. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no mystery ingredients. Just real food that actually fuels your body instead of slowing it down. Effortless glow-up energy, but make it dinner. For over a decade, ButcherBox has led the industry with meat and seafood that's antibiotic-free, hormone-free, and independently verified. Because when it comes to fueling your body, quality isn't extra. It's everything. Clean, whole protein means better support for strength, metabolism, and that steady all-day energy we're all chasing. As an exclusive offer, new listeners can get their choice between chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life. Plus, $20 off when you go to butcherbox.com/pods. That's right, your choice of chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box and free shipping always. That's butcherbox.com/pods. Don't forget to use our link so they know that we sent you.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto. It's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
So, okay. So somebody comes to you and they say, you're not going to be able to help me. I've tried everything. Your ears perk up potentially, and so how do you even get started? How do you go down the decision tree of trying to diagnose when it could be anything?
Yeah, well, you first make sure they've had their diagnostic evaluation, make sure there's not an organ disease or structural damage, that nothing's been overlooked there. And then I'm asking about, you know, what's going on in your life right now? What kinds of stresses have you been dealing with? Did you go through a trauma, for example, right before your symptoms began? That might have triggered it? Or was there a trauma in the more remote past and then something more recently that was connected to that trauma that triggered it? I also don't want to miss somebody who's got depression, anxiety going on that is manifesting more physically than it is mentally, and that happens a lot. But the biggest single category I haven't even really touched on too much is adversity when people were children. You know, I mentioned it in the one case, but it turns out to be in, you know, probably the single most common cause for at least the more severe of these symptoms. Something you went through as a kid that you would never want for a child of your own. That's an important way to frame it, because a lot of people who went through adversity as kids, when they look back, you know, they'll tell me, oh, you know, it wasn't that bad. Other people have been through worse than me, or I think I'm over it now. But when I ask them, okay, let's imagine that you are a butterfly on the wall of your childhood home, and you are looking at that environment, and your own kid or another child that you care about is in that environment, and you have to watch them for a week or so. What's that going to be like for you? And that gives people a completely different perspective and helps them oftentimes to get a much more realistic sense of how much they had to overcome.
Yeah, that's a really interesting thing. And I think that you're obviously right that how you ask that question is really important, because there's a lot of adversity that we've all gone through that, while it may not be fun at the time, it helped to form us into who we are and helped us become gritty and tough and all that good stuff. That being said, what did you go through that you would never want your own child or somebody that you're responsible for or care for? You would never want them to go through that. Like, oh, actually, you know, quite a few things. And in the example that you gave with the mother or the woman who, even at 50 years old, is still being abused by her mother, you're able to uncover that. And then the guy driving to work, that's when his symptoms show up. And it can manifest as in so many different ways. Why is that?
Yeah. It is still one of the mysteries of this condition, why one person gets migraines and somebody else gets long COVID and somebody else gets low back pain. We haven't completely figured out why it manifests in so many ways. The adversity in childhood can also manifest in ways that are very stressful for people as adults and can be a bit like swimming against the tide in your life without even seeing that the tide is there. Many of my patients, for example, in order to survive their childhood environment, they acquire certain personality traits. You know, you mentioned, you know, being gritty, but it can go beyond that. It can get into perfectionism. It can get into imposter syndrome, where you feel like you're not as good as other people, and that if you've had some success, you must be fooling others, and that it's not really about you being a good person. People can get very self-critical coming out of these adverse childhood environments. They often choose for their close personal relationships people who are not necessarily the best, people who are toxic, people who have a whole lot of needs that somehow need to be met. So the relationships become unbalanced. All of those are big sources of stress for people that can contribute to the level of symptoms they're suffering from.
It strikes me that there's so much crossover between what we consider to be a mental health issue and neuroplastic symptoms. Am I wrong about that?
There's huge overlap. Yeah, absolutely. There are people who have just the mental health manifestations, but so many of them also have physical manifestations. And so my colleagues and I spend a lot of time teaching mental health professionals to get comfortable with patients who are physically ill, because that's usually not part of the training of a mental health professional, is to engage with somebody who's got low back pain, for example, or irritable bowel, and to understand that the training they've had in mental health can be applied very well to people that have neuroplastic symptoms. And it also gives them insight into the mental health struggles that people are having. Cognitive behavioral therapy, that's the most widely used form of psychotherapy in the U.S., doesn't really get into the root causes of these physical symptoms. So it's, number one, not very effective for neuroplastic symptoms. And number two, it's leaving these giant clues about what this person is struggling with unexamined. But if you know what to look for, if you can get into a conversation about the kinds of stresses that can cause physical illness, then you as a mental health professional are going to get to know your client a lot better. Let's put it that way.
Well, I think that this is really exciting, because I know how, and obviously you just talked about how 50 million Americans are experiencing this in some form or fashion. So we identify a root cause, which could be I have this awful relationship with my mother or my caregiver, or I had this traumatic physical experience as a child. And if it's all right with you, we go with one of those examples that's the root cause. And then how do we go about actually addressing the brain?
Yeah, it all depends on which particular kind of stress is the most prominent or the most impactful for a person. In many cases, it's one we haven't talked about yet, which is people can have a whole lot of emotions around the way they were treated as kids that are, or some other experience that they've been through that they're not consciously aware of. Mostly anger, but sometimes fear, shame, grief, or guilt. I've seen all of those that are sort of like the person being a dormant volcano on the outside with boiling magma on the inside that may not show up very often or at all. But if I can help people to recognize, you know, they've got this emotion going on and that it's manifesting itself physically in the form of symptoms, and we can bring that into conscious awareness. The patient who was hospitalized at the university 60 times, she had a lot of anger at being mistreated by her mom for 47 years, as you might guess. And it was only when she recognized that, and anger at somebody you care about is not easy to deal with. But by bringing that into her awareness, she could start talking about it. She could start writing about it. Often I have my patients write a letter that they don't mail, but they write it with all their thoughts and feelings about this person that they have powerful emotions about. Put those emotions down onto a computer screen or writing in a journal. And the more you put those emotions into words, the less they need to express themselves via your body. And I've seen people make dramatic changes after they've written those letters. One of my patients took it to his father's grave and read it to him. He said it took him 4 or 5 hours to read the whole thing. And by the end, he was shouting. But his physical symptoms were 90% better after he did that.
Wow. Extraordinary. I can certainly see that. And that makes a lot of sense. I love the analogy or the metaphor of the volcano. We're not even aware of it, but it's dormant inside of us, and we're carrying around anger, rage, shame, embarrassment, whatever it might be, and just becoming aware of it, becoming conscious is certainly a very powerful thing. I've heard of being able to rewire how our neuroplasticity in our brain, how that connects. Is that pseudoscience? Is that something that's actually happening?
No, it's actually happening. There was a study called the Boulder Back Pain Study. Is probably the best example of this. They took 150 people with back pain for an average of 10 years, divided them randomly into three groups. One group just got whatever they were getting before. Another group got an injection into the spine, very powerful placebo effect there. And the third group got this new form of neuroplastic psychology. All they got was 2 sessions a week for 4 weeks, and their pain dropped by 75% compared to the other two groups, which changed hardly at all. So they scanned those patients' brains before and after the treatment, and the brains physically changed. So this is just talk therapy. You know, we're not going into the brain and rearranging your wires physically. We're just having communication about sources of stress and shifting people's attention from, in this case, their back to what's going on in their brain. What kinds of stresses might have been capable of producing the changes in their circuits. And people start thinking about that. And then we can get into, in a higher level of treatment, get into the emotions and expressing those. But this back pain study, all they did mostly was shift attention, just people starting to think about what was happening in their lives, what happened in the past, those kinds of changes in focus. And the MRI study of the brain before and after showed physical change.
Incredible. Well, I think that this is, I think it's exciting. I'm sure that it gives a lot of people hope just hearing about it. How do I start to engage with you or somebody that's been through the training that you provide?
Yes, symptomatic.me is the website, and you can start with The 12-question self-assessment quiz takes less than 3 minutes. The more questions to which you answer yes, the more likely it is that any physical symptoms that you have are connected to this process. And each question comes with a line or two of explanation so that by the time you finish the 12 questions, you have a pretty good idea of what's going on. And then from there, we've got all kinds of resources. We've got a self-treatment course for people who support us as members. We have videos, professional training courses, a curated list of books that are based on the science in this field, lots and lots of resources. People who become members can visit us online in monthly Zoom meetings where people can ask questions of experts. That's another resource that we provide. And we've got an annual conference, end of September, Boulder, Colorado for 3 days. Last year we had 270 people from 8 countries. And that was a huge success.
Yeah. Incredible. Well, doctor, thank you so much for coming on. Give us the website again, please.
Yeah, symptomatic.me. And right when you first get onto the homepage, scroll down a little bit, there's a 7-minute video that's got scientists, clinicians, patients, all talking about this from their perspectives.
Excellent.
We have a podcast, George. I forgot. We just released that last week where I talked to a patient for 45 minutes about their journey through these symptoms and how they overcame them. This particular woman in the first podcast, 30 years of symptoms she overcame. And we'll be dropping new podcasts, not like you do, but probably every week or two.
Right. You wouldn't want to try to keep up with that production schedule doing the important work that you're doing, sir. Excellent. Well, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Dr. Clark your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to symptomatic.me and check out that 7-minute video that David has been talking about. Take that 12-question quiz or assessment and figure out, or at least get started, to determine if this is the right course for you, and check out the podcast that they just dropped as well, and connect with the community, because I'm shocked that this is the first time I've heard of this, but everything that I've been thinking about and working on, David, for the last 15 years certainly suggests that that this is a field that should be given a lot more attention to. So we'd love to have you back on in the future. Thank you again.
Thank you, George.
So again, go to symptomatic.me, check out the video, take the assessment, check out the podcast. And until next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Big refund, big project, big savings at Menards. Turn your tax refund into your next big project. That patio you've been dreaming of is more affordable than you think when you do it yourself. Get free estimates fast using our landscaping design program in-store or on Menards.com. Save big on the largest selection of concrete landscaping blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save.